You know, we've started looking into Psalm 119. We've looked at the verses which speak to us about loving God's law. And what we've seen already, we learned that when we love God's law, it begins to change our perspective. It changes our perspective about falsehood, double-mindedness. It even changes our perspective about our own lives. Love for God's law teaches us about our mortality and that we must depend on God for our lives and for our salvation. But in addition to changing our perspective, as we start to love God's law, it also changes our behavior. Now, it seems obvious that it should, but love for God's law does begin to change our behavior. Our lives change from being focused on wanting our own ways to being more focused on God's ways and on how to have those ways guide us in how we conduct our lives. So today I'd like to look again into Psalm 119 to begin examining how love for God's law can change our behavior. Now, why do we strive to obey God's law? You know, perhaps when we first started to learn about it, we started to keep them because we felt it was required. It was an obligation for us to do that. But as we do start keeping God's laws and obey it, we see the results. And we start to learn to love God's law. And one of the ways that our behavior starts to change is that as we begin to love God's law, we begin to follow His law, we start to keep them not because we have to, but because we want to. We keep God's law because we love it. And that brings us to Psalm 119. And verse 167. Psalm 119, verse 167. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. What we see here in this verse is that there is a direct relationship between loving God's law and keeping God's law. Obedience to the law shows us the results, the positive results of keeping it, and the promises that it holds for us. And because of this, we learn to love it more. We hold it in higher regard. We value it more greatly. The more we love the law, the more we desire to keep it more fully. But as we know, the desire to keep God's law doesn't start with us. It has to come as a result of God's actions in our lives through His Holy Spirit. Without that Spirit working with us, we would never have come to the point where we love God's law. We see this over here in Romans. We've already covered this recently, but let's take a look at this again. Romans chapter 8 and verses 7 and 8. Romans 8, verses 7 to 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Without God first starting to work with us, there's no way we would please God. There's no way we'd even want to start keeping God's law. That's the result of His Spirit working with us. And let's turn back to Romans 6 and verse 17. As Paul writes here in Romans 6, 17, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." God began to teach us, begin to show us His ways. And yes, perhaps initially we started to keep God's laws because we are required. But even though we're still carnal, as Paul says here, we obeyed the form of doctrine. And that obedience started to lead us to love God's law. Now, contrary to popular opinion, popular ideas about what it means to keep God's law, it is not being legalistic to want to follow God's ways, to keep His laws. And actually, the Bible shows that keeping God's laws is a natural consequence of having faith in God. The two must be joined together. And the Bible repeatedly demonstrates not only is it a result of faith, but that there are blessings that come from obeying God's laws. So let's take a look at what some of those blessings are. One blessing that we receive that comes from obeying God's law is that obedience to the law can lead us to salvation. Now, we've seen all kinds of blessings that we've received because we obey God's law. We listen to his word and try to make that part of our life. But we've also benefited from the many blessings that God has given because of the obedience of Abraham. Abraham is called the father of all those who believe. But let's take a look at his example. How did Abraham demonstrate his faith in God? Because of his faith, because he believed God, his response was to obey God in every way. We see that even God acknowledged this in Genesis 26 and verses 4 and 5. Here in Genesis 26, 4 and 5, God is talking to Isaac, but look what he said. Genesis 26, verse 4, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Same promise they had given to Abraham. But notice here in verse 5, the reason God gave for giving these blessings. "Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." We see that God blessed Abraham and Isaac as a result of Abraham's obedience. And Isaac obeyed God too. However, the blessing that came from obeying God's laws went far beyond what these two men received. Their descendants received many blessings. And the greatest blessing is that God promised all nations of the earth would be blessed because of Abraham's obedience. And it's through Abraham's descendant, Jesus Christ, that we can receive the blessing of salvation and eternal life as we faithfully obey God's law. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can receive salvation from God. There is no other name that we can call on for that. Let me read to you Hebrews 5:9, just to reaffirm that again. Hebrews 5:9, talking about Jesus Christ. "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Faith, which is believing God, must be accompanied by obedience. God offers his gift of salvation only to those who obey his law. And God's salvation is a gift. We can never emphasize that enough. It's not something that we can earn. But on the flip side of that coin, is if we choose to disobey God, then we've chosen to disqualify ourselves from receiving his gift of salvation. Those who disobey God clearly demonstrate that they do not have the faith of Jesus Christ in that they do not believe God. And here again, look in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19 as an affirmation of that point. Hebrews 3, verses 18 and 19. "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" Hebrews 3, verses 18 and 19. And then we see in verse 19, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Unbelief is equated here with disobedience. So one of the blessings that we can receive from obeying God's laws is that it can lead us to salvation. Another blessing that we can receive as we obey God's law is that obedience teaches love. How does that happen? How does obeying God's law teach us love? Because, again, as you look at common Christianity and stuff, they say, no, you don't have to obey God's law. You just have to love Jesus. The Bible tells us to love Jesus. You have to obey the law. So obedience teaches us to live in God's love. Let's turn to John 14. And we're going to be reading verses 21 through 24. As you're aware, John 14, this was the night before Jesus was crucified. He was with his disciples. And he spoke to his disciples the importance of keeping the commandments of God. John 14, verses 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So what are some of the things that we can glean from this passage here concerning about how obedience to God's law can teach us about love? Well, there are a number of things that we can learn here. First of all, how do we know that we love Jesus Christ? Is it sufficient to proclaim, I love Jesus Christ? Is it enough to acknowledge that, yes, God's ways are the right ways, but then not keep them? No, to both questions. What does Jesus say here concerning what is necessary to demonstrate that we love him? Verse 21 and verse 23 both state that keeping his commandments is how we demonstrate that we love him. He also stated earlier in the conversation, let me just read that to you in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Three times in a very short period of time as he was teaching them, he said, if you love me, you will keep my word, you will keep my commandments. Obedience to God's commands is a blessing in that it teaches us how to love God. Secondly, we also see here that as we show Jesus that we love him by keeping his commandments, he promises in turn to continue to love us, and we will live our lives in the love of Jesus Christ. So by keeping his commandments, we learn of the love and about the love that Jesus has for us. Let's take a look, just flip over a page or two, whatever your Bible is, into John 15 and verse 10. Again, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So as we keep the commandments of God, we abide in the love of God. It surrounds us, it fills us, it teaches us. That's how we learn the love of God. Another blessing we receive here as we obey the commandments, third item here, is the promise that we see in verse 21. That as we do obey him, God promises to love us. And you might think, well, of course he does. And yes, he does, of course. But there's more to it. He is making us his special people. Right here and now. With all the blessings that come with that statement. Let's take a look back at Exodus 19. And verses 5 and 6. Exodus 19. In verses 5 and 6, God made a similar promise to the Israelites. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. Does that apply to us today? Yeah, it still does. Turn back with me to Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Peter demonstrates how these scriptures do still apply to us today. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that promise is still there. As we obey God's commandments, keep his word, he says, you will be my special people. Chosen people. God specifically chose us to be here today, to be here now, to learn his ways. So that's another blessing that we learn about God's love for us and what he's going to do for us. The fourth thing we can get from the passage here in John 14, 21 through 24. In verse 23, we see that as we keep God's commandments, as we obey his word, we'll be blessed and sanctified as the house of God, the spiritual temple where through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God and Jesus Christ will dwell within us. That was never promised to anyone before Jesus Christ appeared on the earth. So we see this is another blessing that we can receive by obeying God's command, by loving his laws and living by them. Let's turn over, just look back a few verses to John 14. In verses 16 and 17. And look what Jesus said here. I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it. It dwells with you and will be in you. And as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Again, it's this promise that God has made to dwell with us, to dwell in us as his temple. Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? A special people, a royal priesthood, chosen by God to be his spiritual temple because we love his law and we keep his commandments. One other item I want to take note from this passage in John 14 very clearly states that those who don't obey the commandments of Jesus Christ do not love him. And we see this also in verse 24. And in fact, no matter how much people may proclaim that they love Jesus Christ, that they know Jesus, if they don't keep his commandments, he will not even acknowledge them. We see this in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And what is lawlessness? Those who are not keeping God's law. So it's clear that if we want to say that we love Jesus and we want to learn God's love for us, that we need to obey the commandments. And just as a couple more verses on that point, let's take a look back at 1 John chapter 6, or 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. John writes, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." There it is again, very clearly stated. Verse 4, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Keeping God's commandments, we see that God's love is perfected in us. And when you consider where we started, we didn't even know the love of God until he started working with us. To know that this process is going on, that love is being perfected in us. How can we not love the law of God and want to keep it? Another verse, 2 John. You need to call it chapter 6, verse 6, whichever you want. 2 John 6, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." So we see that one of the blessings of obeying God's law is that we learn about God's love. We learn to live in God's love, what it means for us, that we can abide in it. But we also know that as we keep God's commandments, not only do we learn about God's love for us, we learn how to show that love to our brethren. Going back to John's Gospel, John 13 and verses 34 and 35. Again, same night of instruction, Jesus is trying to get the point across his last night with his disciples. What did he tell them here in John 13, verses 34 and 35? "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's a clear instruction. As we're learning God's love, we're also in the process of learning how to demonstrate that love by loving the family that God has put us in. How do we do that? How do we learn to love each other in the way that Jesus has loved us? Well, it goes hand in hand with loving God. Flipping back to 1 John again, 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 to 3. As we learn about God's love, we have to learn. Part of that learning is learning how to love our brethren. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. "By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." As we learn to love God's laws, as we learn to keep his commandments, part of that is sharing the love that God gives for us with the love he gives to all of our brethren. He is calling us into a family, and we have to learn to love each other just as much as we learn to love God, just as much as God loves each of us. And that's another blessing that we receive as we start to obey God's commandments and learn to love those commandments. Because it's God's love that, and keeping of his commandments to learn about that love, that's what builds us up. That's what binds us together. Binds us together as a family, sharing with each other in good times and in bad times. Sometimes it's hard to comprehend or hard to think about it. But the reality of it is that the relationships that we are starting and building with each other right now, do we stop and think that this is the start of something that can last for eternity? It starts here. It starts with keeping God's commandments, learning his love, and showing that love to each other. Let me read to you what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, he writes, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Not something we want to take casually. It's not something we want to take for granted. It says, love each other fervently. And that's part of purifying our souls in obeying the truth, in obeying God's laws, living by his ways, showing love to the brethren fervently, wanting to build that relationship, wanting it to grow. Not the attitude that we're God called us here, but that doesn't mean I have to talk to you. That's not what we want to be doing here. Obedience to God's law, learning God's love, is what teaches us how to build the relationships with each other. And those relationships are based on the pureness of God's love. And that's what we're working towards. So we can see that love for God's law, one of the ways in which it changes our behavior, that we learn about God's love. And we start to live in that love. And our lives start to reflect that love. Another way in which keeping God's commandments, learning to love those commandments, changes our lives is that we start to view God's law as something very, very precious. Something that has a higher value than anything else in our lives. We started out reading Psalm 119, 167. Let me read that to you again. "My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." But we also see in Psalm 119, and verse 129, "Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them." Now, as we look at the words here, we see the English word keeps. Now, that's actually a translation of two different Hebrew words. But the meaning of each of those words, the connotation that we see here is an action of guarding something very dear and guarding it very carefully. Kind of like putting a hedgerow around it or putting it into a safe. It's something you value so greatly that you don't want anything to get to it and take it away from you. We see the same concept again in John 14:15. We read that earlier. John 14:15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." So what we see here is that the concept of keeping the commandments goes well beyond just obeying them. Oh, I'm doing this because I have to, or I'm doing this because I should, or I like to do this. It goes beyond just obeying them. It raises us up to the point where we say, yes, I love keeping God's commandments because they are so precious, so wonderful, as the psalmist said here in verse 129. Martin Vincent, in commenting on John 14:15 and talking about the word keep, says basically it means to lay it up in your heart and to preserve it by careful watching. It's not a casual thing. It's a very staunch, active thing that we are doing to have those laws within us so that we can live by them. In medieval times, traditionally at least, the strongest, most fortified place in a castle was what we refer to as the keep. This was the most secure place. Kings or lords would put their gold in there, sometimes their wives, maybe, who knows. But this was the most secure place in the entire castle, so that when there was an invasion, that it would be very, very difficult for the invaders to get to these valuables. So the question we want to ask ourselves, is this where we have put God's commandments in our lives? Have we taken them so deeply within us, taken them to our heart wholeheartedly, that no matter what trials beset us, no matter what happens to us, obeying those laws will still be there. Keeping God's commandments will still be there, regardless of the attacks that are made upon our lives. Are God's laws, are His commandments, testimonies, that valuable to us? Have we secured them in our lives to protect them no matter what happens? You know, the Bible gives us a very wonderful example of men who did this very thing. Turning back to Daniel 3, familiar with the story, Nebuchadnezzar had built this giant statue and wanted everybody to bow down to it. But it was reported to him that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down to the statue. So Nebuchadnezzar called them before him. He said, look, you know, I'm going to give you another chance. When the music starts playing, if you bow down to the statue, fine. We'll overlook it. Everything's fine. But if you don't bow down to the statue I made, I am going to throw you into a fire and have you executed. Their lives are on the line. Do I keep God's commandments or not? Let's look at their response. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, in other words, if you're going to throw us in the fire, if that's the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, in other words, if God chooses not to, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. In other words, no matter what happens to us, whether you execute us, the pain of the fire, whatever happens to us, we are not going to disobey God's laws. That is who we are. We love His laws. We will live by His laws no matter what. So do what you will, King. God will either deliver us from the fire or he won't. But that's our final answer. And it's a wonderful example for us to keep in mind when those trials beset us. We put the love of God's law in that keep in our lives. We protect it. We guard it. We keep it with us no matter what besets us. As part of this too, we saw there in verse 129, says, your testimonies are wonderful. Why do we keep these testimonies? Why do we keep these commandments, firmly securing them in our lives? The psalmist states, your testimonies are a wondrous thing. He recognizes that God's way is a precious, marvelous thing, and if you stop and think about it, the fact that God has called us and is teaching us his law, showing us his way, showing us the promise that he has for all humanity, it's a miraculous thing. Something we would never know if God were not working with us now. Your testimonies are a wondrous thing. God Almighty and the Word have lived in peace, unity, and love for all eternity. God is calling us now to learn his law, a way of life that demonstrates how they have done this and how they continue to do this and will into the eternity in the future. Consider what Jesus told us in John 10 and chapter 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The fullest potential of our lives will not be reached until the time when we are given eternal life and are living fully by God's law. That's what Jesus came to give us, a more abundant life. And it's there as a gift for us as we love God's law, as we keep God's law and follow his word. How well do we appreciate the miracle that God is doing for us here and now? We've been blessed with the gift of having our minds open to a greater understanding of God's law. And we receive strength from God's Holy Spirit to help us to keep that law and to learn it more fully, to dive more deeply into it, to find new ways to apply it to our lives. Is it any wonder why we would learn to love the law when we begin to see how perfect of a guide it is for how we live our lives? In fact, as we love God's law, we want to know more. We want to learn more. Help me understand how to apply this better. A few more verses in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Help me understand that they're not burdensome. Help me appreciate that my life is better when I love and keep your laws. Show me these things, because it is a wondrous thing. And then in Psalm 119, verses 33 through 34, it's a plea. Psalm 119, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. There again, the concept of keeping it safe, secure, at the very core of who we are. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. As we learn to love God's law, our behavior changes. And it'll change in that we desire to more fully obey God's law. And that obedience, we find, leads us to salvation. And it teaches us more fully about God's love and what that means for us. We learn to know God's love better, and we learn how to express that love to our brethren in the family of God. Love for God's law teaches us how precious, how miraculous the law is, especially when we consider the changes that it's making in our own lives as we obey it.